Today is Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem. This is the day described by Christians for generations as the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But have you ever asked yourself, if this is a triumphant entry, then why did they crucify Jesus at the end of the week? If this is such a glorious Sunday for all Christians, what goes wrong by Friday that Jesus will find himself betrayed by one of his own disciples, arrested by the high priest, accused by a coalition of religious leaders, tried by the Roman governor, and sentenced to die the death of a common criminal, death by crucifixion? You see, on this Sunday, it was a day of two processions. You might not know that Jesus' procession into Jerusalem was not the only procession into Jerusalem on that day. Roman historians record the day that the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, led a procession of Roman cavalry and centurions into the city of Jerusalem. From the western side of the city, opposite the eastern side of the city where Jesus came in, Pontius Pilate led Roman soldiers on horseback and by foot. Now, if you can imagine that each soldier had a leather armor polished in high gloss. On the head of every centurion, the helmets gleamed in the bright sunlight. At their side, they had scabbards and swords that were crafted with the hardest of steel. And in every soldier's hand, they carried a spear. And if they were an archer, they had a bow with a sling of arrows across their back. As they marched along, the drummers beat out a cadence, a march, for this was no ordinary entry into Jerusalem. This was Pontius Pilate, governor of the region. It was standard practice for the governor, a Roman governor of a foreign territory, to be in the capital during religious celebrations. It was the beginning of the Passover, a Jewish festival that the Romans already knew, and they allowed it, but they knew that this festival celebrated the liberation of the Jews from another empire, the Empire of Egypt. The Romans occupied this land by defeating the Jews and disposing of their king about 80 years before. So whenever there's uprisings that are going on or in the air, you can be sure that the military is going to be around. The Romans had no tolerance for rebellion. The temple where the Jews would be in the center of the activity. The Roman garrison where they stayed was built close to the temple compound. From there, the Romans would have a good vantage point to keep an eye on the Jews. So Pilate's entry into Jerusalem was meant to send a message to the Jews and to anybody that might be plotting against the Roman Empire. This spectacle, because it was a spectacle, was meant to remind the Jews of what happened the last time there was an uprising. It was meant to intimidate the people of Jerusalem. But as I said before, on this day, it was a day of two processions. So I want to get back to Jesus, and I want to get back to his entry into Jerusalem on the other side. You see, if Pilate's procession was meant to show military might and strength, Jesus' procession was meant to show the opposite. In both the books of Matthew and Mark that records Jesus' own words, he instructs his disciple to go up into the city and find a donkey that's tied up. And there, if anybody should ask, if the owner should ask, if there would be any interference, all they had to say is that the Lord needs them. I just need to stop right there for a second, because there are times in our lives that we are going to do something and we want to do what we want to do. And the Lord needs you. And when he says that I need you, do you go without questioning why he needs you? You see, this is prophecy being fulfilled when all they had to say is the Lord needs them. On this Sunday, when the Lord tells you that he needs you, will you stop and drop doing everything that you perceived was important to you and heed the Lord's calling? Because there is a prophecy for you. The Bible then has Jesus quoting the prophet Zechariah in the 9th chapter, where he says, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." But there is more to this passage than just the description of what Jesus says about his means of transportation that day. The prophet Zechariah is speaking to a nation. In Zechariah 9, the prophet also reassures the people of Judah, called Judea, that God has not forgotten them. In the 8th verse, he says, "But I will defend my house against marauding forces. Never again will an oppressor overrun my people. For now I am keeping watch. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem." He further goes on and says, "I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth." In other words, when Jesus quoted the prophet Zechariah, it reminded those who knew the entire passage. So the part of that passage that they also remembered is that when the king will come riding on a donkey, that he will deliver the nation from the oppressor, in this case, Rome. But the king that they seek came to them humbly, not on a steed of war, not on a steer of war, not on a horse of war, but on a slow-moving donkey. The symbol of this king who comes in peace came according to the prophet Zechariah. So on one hand, those who really knew scripture of what was in the book of Zechariah, they were looking forward to the king that would eliminate the oppressors from the land, that would take them from under captivity. But the two processions, they couldn't be more different than the message that they convey. Pilate leading the centurions, asserting power and might of the empire of Rome that'll crush anybody that opposes it, as compared to Jesus riding on a donkey, embodies peace and tranquility, the shalom that only God can bring to his people. You know, those people that were in the city that day, they had a choice to make. They could either serve the God of this world and look at the parade of Pontius Pilate, the power and the might, or they could choose to serve a king of a very different kingdom, the kingdom of God, who arrived humbly and in peace. But there's another problem. There's a book that's named Leadership on the Line, and it says leadership is about disappointing your own people at a rate that they can absorb. So Jesus has another problem here. The King Jesus has another problem here, because the followers who got caught up in his entry into Jerusalem think that they are going to choose to follow Jesus because he was going to get rid of the oppressors. But by the end of the week, those that chose to follow Jesus followed man because they were disappointed that Jesus couldn't do the things that they thought that he should do at a rate that they would approve of. So they turned on him. Even those closest to Jesus, the disciples, either betrayed him or outright abandoned him in confusion and in fear. So I say today that even though the disciples had been with Jesus these years, had seen the miracles that he had performed, the miracle that he performed right before he decided to come into Jerusalem, they still were not sure of this man, this King Jesus Christ. The crowd on that Sunday that proclaimed Hosanna to the Son of David, they were placing their faith in Jesus that he would restore the glory of the nation of David to his splendor when David and his son Solomon ruled the kingdom. They wanted Jesus to be a man like David. They wanted Jesus to be a man committed to God and to the Old Testament prophets that had proclaimed the coming of the Messiah that would sit on the throne of his father like David. They wanted the Messiah who would bring back the glory of Israel. But there's a difference that I want to tell you about right now. Too bad they didn't realize that if Palm Sunday would have been Psalm Sunday, they would have listened to what David said. You see, because David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, that I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me besides the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths for his name, in righteousness for his name's sake. That yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil." So I'm saying that because all the scholars that remember what Zechariah said and all the scholars that wanted the kingdom that David had and Solomon had, they didn't realize what David had said about the king, what the king would do, that he would restore them to green pastures and that he leaded them beside still waters. They didn't believe that the person that they saw on the donkey was a leader. They didn't believe that he could lead them beside the still waters. They didn't understand that he could restore their souls. They didn't understand that he can restore the nations. There's something that goes on between what we perceive physically and what we perceive spiritually. And sometimes, no matter how close you are to the Lord, if you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can miss the boat. I say that because at the time, the disciples had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So therefore, there was a whole lot of humanism that was still going on in effect in their lives. Because if they had been baptized by the Holy Spirit, they would have realized that there was no need to run. They would have realized that there was no need to abandon. They would have realized that there was no need to be disappointed. Whether Jesus' entry into Jerusalem might have been planned or just happened to occur on the same day Have you ever had something happen and somebody say, oh, well, it just happened that way, or it just happened perchance to happen that way, or it was lucky that it happened that way? I say no to that, because they say that we say that God is the author and the finisher of our faith, that nothing happens by chance, that everything is in his divine wisdom and the prophecy for your lives. So whether people believe that it was planned or not, there was two kings and two kingdoms on display that day. Although many of the Jewish people and the common people sided with Jesus that day, they did so for the same reasons that the Pharisees and the others decided to side with Rome. The hosannas of Palm Sunday were justified, but not just for the reasons the people had supposed. They thought that Jesus could do for them what Rome had done for their rulers. They wanted Jesus to just make their physical lives better. They just wanted Jesus to deliver them from oppression. They just wanted Jesus to turn the tide on the Romans. And that's why at the end of the week, by the end of the week, they realized that Jesus did not come to do those things. So since Jesus didn't come to do those things, they must believe that Jesus must have came to make their life worse and not better. Amen. The religious leaders of the time, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, people who could not agree on anything socially, theologically, all of a sudden, there was agreement that Jesus had to go. If Jesus did not go, then he would attract attention from the Romans, and then therefore making it worse for the Jews and the Jewish people and the religious people of the day, that their ceremonies, their religious ceremonies, might be hindered or stopped. Amen? But Jesus would conquer through serving. Jesus would conquer through loving. Jesus would conquer through laying his life down to save those that believe. And when we learn why Jesus did these things, we understand that he was taking steps to show us his wisdom, his humility, and genuine Christian faith. You see, Jesus came to free people from themselves. Jesus comes to free people from hatred. He comes to free people from selfishness. He comes to free us from shame. He comes to free us from greed. He comes to free us from fear. He comes to free us from death. He comes to free us from our broken relationship with God. Jesus comes to give us life, and life more abundantly. You know, people that are greedy, they're not satisfied. They never have peace in their life. People who have fear, they're always watching around looking for something because they're always fearful or afraid of something. There's no peace in their life. People who are shamed, always walking around with their head down, looking to see who's looking at them, scared to look people in their eyes. There's no peace for them. People who hate people, they hate themselves, and there's no peace with them. Oh, hallelujah. But Jesus came to give us peace, to give us life, and to give us life more abundantly. Now, there's a real significant little detail that I'd like to share with you this morning. And very often, this is overlooked. But when you go to the book of Mark, the 15th chapter, verses 12 to 14, the scripture says, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. Jesus rode into the city on that day on a colt that was never, ever broken in. It was never ridden on, an unbroken colt. Now, anybody who's ever rode on a horse, a donkey, or anything knows that when you first rope something that's never been roped before, that it's going to buck, it's going to jump, it's going to fight. It's not going to be still. It's untamed. Amen. And Jesus said, "Go get that one for me." That's just to say that there's colts out there that's never been tamed, that Jesus, if you just let Jesus come into your life, that he can tame you, that there can be peace where you had no peace before. In your life, you've been living lives where there never ever was peace. But when you come to Jesus, there's a peace that you've never ever experienced before. If you can understand what is going on here, Jesus is not just riding this colt in the middle of the countryside. He is riding them through thousands of people, screaming and hollering, making noise and shouting. And yet the colt never bucks. The colt never tries to run away. The colt just keeps going on and on because the master is riding it. Don't you know all of the things that are going on right now that we're bucking against? Some of the things that we're going on right now, we can't hardly stay in the house. We can't hardly stand one another when we're doing things. It's because Jesus has not broken us yet. But right now, if we're in the master's hands, as we go through things that's new, we've never gone through before, if you let Jesus just take control, you can ride the waves of this uncertainty that people are feeling right now, the uncertainty and the fear that people are feeling right now. Jesus riding on this untamed colt like it's been trained, like it's been written on before. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I say to you, if you lift your voice to him, you'll ride through the storm right now that this world is going through. Just like you're tamed, like you've been through it before. When people look at you and want to know, how can you deal with it? It's because I know who I serve and I know whose I am. It might seem a little less spectacular because we know that Jesus, you know, he's done some spectacular things. Oh, we know he's calmed the storm. He's walked on water. He's raised the dead. But even still right now, the people don't even realize the miracle that they were seeing as he was riding into the city that day. How is your life right now? How things are going right now with the uncertainty and everything that's going on? Right now, the world has bucked you off into your homes, into your apartments, into your rooms. It has bucked you off without a moment's notice. All the things that you worked hard for, what do you have to show for yourself right now? What do you have to show to others that you want to prove that you're successful? There's nothing that you can show them. Right now, Jesus, the world itself, God has bucked the world at a moment's notice. Everything that you ever thought and everything that you ever worked for, all the money that you have, all the cars that you want to drive, all the clothes that you want to put on, can't nobody see them but you. How important is that right now? Oh, hallelujah. When the cry, Hosanna to the Son of David, this is the prophet. They said the right words, but they missed the point. They had all the notes to sing, but they didn't have the music. They have all the theology. They still ended up rejecting Jesus and calling for his death. One person put it this way. You can go to school and you can get an A-plus course. You can get an A-plus on ethics and still flunk life. Everybody loves a parade and everybody loves to cheer. But this Palm Sunday that Jesus came in, just like this Palm Sunday right now, people had a choice. And when you have a choice and you have to make a choice, nobody can be neutral. We've been to church. We've been inside buildings. We've been standing and we've been waving. We've been enjoying the crowd. We've been enjoying Jesus on those days that we've been inside the building. And when he comes and the Spirit dropped down, so many of us just watch it pass by. How many of us are willing to not let it stand, watch it stand by? How many of us are not willing to just let Jesus die on the cross for nothing? It's easy to shout. Have you ever been someplace and people just shouting all over the place, shouting, 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 shouting? But I want to know how many people are serving. It's easy to shout. It's harder to serve. But on that Sunday that people were shouting, nobody wanted to serve. By the end of the week, nobody wanted to serve. So I want to ask you for one moment for yourself. If you can ask yourself, if I had been in Jerusalem that day and I had seen both processions passing by, which one would I have gone to follow? Because that's the choice that we have to make today, to choose power and might over love, to choose the way things are done over the way that God intends for them to be. Two processions, two theologies, choices. Which would you choose? It all depends on what kind of king do you expect. So I want to say to you today, if you are not saved and you don't have a relationship with the Lord, you can have one starting now. Today, we serve a right now God, and he's standing right now with open arms. If you would like to receive salvation today, wherever you are, open your hearts. Lift your hands and repeat after me. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you into my heart and my life. I want to trust you and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name, I pray. Amen. I pray that no matter where you are on this Palm Sunday, that you have given your life to the Lord and you have the right relationship with him. I say that because we are in times, not the end times, but in times where trials and tribulations of the righteous are going to be many. But the Bible says we will prevail out of them all. I pray that you have a blessed Palm Sunday this, and remember the Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want.
You've been listening to the Cathedral of Higher Praise with Pastor Dr. Philip Boone. To reach Dr. Boone, you can contact the Cathedral of Higher Praise at 155 Grand Avenue, New Haven, Connecticut. 06513 is the zip code. Or call him at 1-203-776-7676. That's 1-203-776-7676. Or email the cathedral at www.cathedralofhigherpraise.org. That's www.cathedralofhigherpraise.org. For Pastor Dr. Philip Boone and the Cathedral of Higher Praise family, we say thank you for listening. God bless you.